think I'm good. Good morning. So good to see everybody. I know it's in the middle of July after a long year of not being able to travel because everyone seems to be gone. People are just getting out of town. It's great. It's so great that we're able to do that. We have our men's hiking trip. People are either leaving right after church. Some of them have already left. So it's good that we can experience some, something besides our normal hometown, right? God is good. Am I right? God is good. And it's so good to be here today. You know, there's four people that I know of. How many people have birthdays today? Because I know of at least four. I know there's Jason Creed, there's Paul, Kara, I'm sorry, I just told everybody, little Michael. Anyone else? Because that's kind of a cool thing. Four people here in this one. So happy birthday to all of you. Jason, you get younger every year. I'm very excited for you. It is a good day to be here. You know, I've been speaking on words the last couple weeks. We have two more weeks to go, and I thought today was going to be just cut and dry, really easy. You know, we're talking about speaking the truth in love. I just thought, speak truth, don't lie, and I thought it'd be a very simple, you know, go. But as you really start getting into this idea, especially in our culture where truth is pretty nuanced, then it's kind of more difficult to really talk about how to speak the truth in love. Neil deGrasse Tyson, he's a famous astrophysicist and scientist. Something he said, it's just struck me this week. He says, most of us have enough information about something to think we're right, but not enough information to know we're wrong. And then it's interesting. And it kind of hit me because how many times have I just barreled through with something that I thought was right only to be proven by my wife that I wasn't very right? But to really discuss truth in all its philosophical detail is a pretty strenuous exercise. May even make our head spin, and I don't even know if we have enough time to do that. But the question needs to be asked, what is truth? So today I want to take some time to look at what truth is, and also I want to talk about why it is so important to speak this truth in love. So if you could, please pray for me as I make my way through this lesson today, and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us to this place here. Thanks for those people who have been able to finally just leave, get out of town, enjoy your world. And I pray that you would just keep them safe, bring them back. They're probably watching online right now. Lord, I pray that you would bless them. Thank you for giving us a country where we are free to move about. Thank you for giving us technology that we can still reach a world, Lord, that is far from here even. Lord, thank you for bringing us into this place where we can celebrate you and remember you alongside believers, alongside people who are even curious about you, who have found their way into this room. Help us, Lord, to leave today, not with the same baggage we had when we came, but help us to leave changed. Because I know that the words that are spoken today are going to require a response from us. So help us, Lord, to be courageous enough to respond. Help us not to leave today without speaking kind words, helpful words, encouraging words to others. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have an app, Johnson Street Church app, today's lesson will be in there. All the our scripture references are going to be in there, some notes to follow along, so that's on your app. It's easily accessed. In Ephesians 4:15, as Judge Elizabeth just said, that was great, by the way. As she said, by the way, it feels like a polar bear should be in this room right now, am I right? And I still don't believe that the hair is translucent. That's what you said. I don't believe it. Of course, I'm never going to get close enough to find out, so I'll just have to take your word for it. In Ephesians 4:15, Paul is talking to his people, this church, about the importance of being together, the importance of being unified. And in a world of alternative beliefs to those that Jesus taught, this was so important because those alternative beliefs can be hugely divisive. I mean, those beliefs seek not to unify, but alternative beliefs seek to divide and destroy ultimately. So his culture that he's speaking into, he's trying to encourage his church to stay together. So this is what he says very clearly in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. He says, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. So very clearly, speaking the truth helps believers to become like Jesus. And we may be young, you know, a baby, whenever it's born, the head is not necessarily proportionate to the rest of its body. The body has to grow into proportion with the head. Christians grow into a mature group of believers when their default response is to speak the truth in love. Is that our default response? It sounds easy enough until you start to put it into everyday practice. Not so easy then. We'll have a couple of examples a little later. So John chapter 18, we're going to be in a few places today. Turn to John chapter 18. Jesus is standing before Pilate. And Pilate is the governor, the ruler of this area. It's a very tumultuous area. And he has been brought into this dispute between the Jewish leaders and this prisoner, Jesus. Pilate is the power of Rome, Caesar's representative, and I can only imagine how tired he is of these people. They won't just agree to be ruled by Rome. They're always coming up with something, some uprising here, some dispute over here. Constant difficulty. And to top it off, it's Passover. It's like the Super Bowl of the Jewish holidays, and there's probably an influx of over maybe 2 million people in Jerusalem. It's a lot of people. So he's expecting more difficulty. So they bring Jesus to Pilate because they want him executed because he's claiming to be the king of the Jews. This is the interaction. So Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and he asked them, are you the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea? Jesus asked. Or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew? Pilate replied. Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. You are a king then, Pilate said. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. What is truth? Retorted Pilate. With this, he went out again to the Jews gathered there and says, I find no basis for a charge against him. Pilate speaks like a true politician. Politics and truth have a very tumultuous relationship, don't they? I mean, do we really believe our political figures anymore? Or do we just vote for the best and pray for supernatural intervention? Yes, lots of people shaking their heads. I mean, we've heard some fantastic lies come from politicians, haven't we? Just take a moment and think about some of the lies you've heard in your lifetime from political figures. I mean, even when the evidence is overwhelming, we still hear them doing their best to deny the truth. It's kind of the same way with kids, right? With little kids. Overwhelming evidence. No, it wasn't me. So many people, I'll I'm not going to put all this on politicians, but so many people, they speak so much, they begin to believe themselves, and they become to think that, you know, because if they just continue to speak it, they're certain that their view is the truth. But it's not new to us. We've seen this throughout history, haven't we? So one of the most recent, I think, famous is, you know, when you look at Hitler, he seized control of his country by convincing his people that all the bad things that were happening to them were because of the Jews. His people bought it. And then you had a whole country that was certain the Jews were responsible. A culture rooted in lies will never prevail. So how many lies had Pilate heard? How many lies had he just become accustomed to telling? He was in a culture where truth was relative. Truth was something that really only mattered when it benefited you. But here's a man who is speaking the truth, and he stood before Pilate, and he believed he was speaking the truth, but the truth in no way seemed to be benefiting this man, Jesus. So to Pilate, what does truth matter? Especially if you're in chains, powerless. But there's always been a battle for truth. The battle is still raging today because people are still wanting to know, what is truth? I mean, we've all been duped. We've all been lied to by random people, by family, friends, by our spouses, some of us. People we look up to and admire, we've been lied to. And some of these lies are really believable. One particular man was lying on his deathbed, and he's holding his wife's hand, and he's reassuring her. He knows he's going. He's just reassuring her, and in some of his final words, he told her to not worry about money. Do not worry about money. You trust your financial advisor, Bernie Madoff, with everything, and you'll be fine. She did. Bernie Madoff, $50 billion he stole from people. She lost everything, and she's in her 80s. Had millions. Just because we're certain about something doesn't necessarily make it true. Certainty isn't always truth. I mean, certainly Pilate had seen more lies than truth. And whenever you're in this culture where you have seen more lies than truth, it can have an enormous effect on your world. It can jade you. It can taint your vision. Keep you from recognizing the Son of God, pure truth, even when he's standing right in front of you. But God has always been about truth. It's in his DNA. Now, one of his main issues with his people was that they lied. They were liars. Lies are always self-centered. Even the ones that you think you're saying to protect someone. Lies are really self-centered. They're told to protect yourself from consequences. But in Zechariah 8, what we see is a God who is trying to provide good consequences to his people. And he tells them, hey, I'm going to come back. I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you long life, and I'm going to help your business dealings be safe and prosperous. And what do you have to do? Zechariah 8, he says, don't be afraid. These are the things you are to do. Speak the truth to each other and render true and sound judgment in your courts. Do not plot evil against each other and do not love to swear falsely. I hate all of this, declares the Lord. If you want to know what God hates, it's lying. Hates it. Now imagine getting to that place where you love to lie. I mean, look at this. Do not plot evil against each other and do not love to swear falsely. How do you get there? Talk about a self-centered person. And now in a way, it seems like a pretty low bar. Listen, just don't lie. That's it. Don't lie. That'd be a great place to start. But how hard is it to be truthful, to not lie? I mean, how hard is it to speak the truth when it doesn't benefit you? Do you know why I stopped you, sir? Probably because I wasn't paying attention to my speed, because I was looking at my phone, singing that song to the Greatest Showman really, really loud. I mean, no, officer, I have no idea why you stopped me. Warning? Right? How many times have you said, do you know why I stopped you? Yes, because I was speeding about 12 miles over the speed limit. That was a very small chuckle. I think some of y'all are holding back. Remember those times when you could actually get out of your car and go back to the police officer and try to work it out, you know? Or was that just my dad? I don't know. What's funny is that the truth is difficult when it does not benefit us. And it's probably really hard to speak the truth because the truth is not always convenient. And for people who are self-centered, there's this tendency to co-opt truth. Now, this is something we've heard, thanks to Oprah several years ago, my truth and your truth. We hear that a lot. My truth, this is your truth. And what I've experienced is that when people say, this is my truth, what they're usually saying is, this is what I think, so back off, don't challenge me. It doesn't matter what you say, this is what I believe. When you co-opt truth, it's not a unifying statement. It's very divisive. Truth is not a commodity. Truth is not something you can control or try to manage. Truth is not simply information. It's information that requires a response from us. It requires us to do something about it. In a very real sense, truth is a way of life. And so Jesus tells Pilate that everybody on the side of truth listens to him. So Pilate's words weren't necessarily a question as much as they were this cynical and bitter response. And although it's a very relevant question, still, what is truth? Psalm 119, 142 says, your righteousness is everlasting and your law is truth. To the Jews, God's law was truth. His law was the baseline for truth. Is it ours? And it's difficult too because God's word requires a response from us. And it's a response that requires us to take the focus off of ourselves and put it on to him and put it on to others. And if we spend our life more concerned with self-preservation than we are concerned with truth, then that moment when truth is staring you right in the face, you will not recognize it. Michael Morton, as a man from Texas, was accused of killing his wife. The prosecutor was convinced he did it. So convinced that even when he found DNA evidence that proved otherwise, he hid it from the defense. The guy was sentenced to 25 years to life. I think actually life. He only spent 25 years in prison because the truth finally came out. This prosecutor was more concerned with his career and a win than he was with the truth. Some lies cost others everything. He ended up losing his law license. You think he should have gone to jail for 25 years. But that one lie now casts doubt on all of his convictions. And our conviction should be rooted in truth. Our convictions of what is true should be rooted in the words of God. These things should be our focus. What does it say in Philippians 4? Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, these are the things we should be thinking about. The truth should be on our mind. And if we're on the side of truth, Jesus said we would listen to him. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And like God himself, Jesus' life was dedicated to truth. His words were true. One of my favorite sections of Scripture is the Sermon on the Mount. We're not going to read it today, but it's the summary of what the law, what this law that Jesus held to be true, was really all about. And it's not an easy sermon, because if you read it, it requires you to either, if you agree with it, then that means you're going to have to act a particular way. We cannot incorporate some and ignore the rest. And here are some basic truths that emerge from that sermon. One, you are people with a purpose. Salt and light. And promises matter, especially your marriage vows. So don't make promises lightly. When you pray, God hears you. God knows you. He knows what you've done, but He isn't condemning you. So don't condemn others. God has and will forgive you. So don't hold back forgiving others as well. He'll give you what you need. So don't worry. Don't worry. Just ask. Seek, try to find Him, and then knock whenever you get there. Keep asking, seeking, and knocking. You'll receive. You'll find the door, and the door will open. And what is that one, you know, the thing that even the non-Christians among us know? He says, treat others how you want to be treated. This is the most basic way to show God to others. This is truth. Jesus didn't simply speak words. He lived the life truthfully, and He did so with pure and sincere love. He wasn't just regurgitating information. And I know sometimes we seem to think that speaking the truth doesn't have to be personal, and sometimes it just needs to be harsh. It needs to be just matter of fact. And how many of us have used this as an excuse to just be a jerk? Most blatant truth, as witnessed through Jesus Christ, is not that God is going to condemn the world, but that He wants to save it, all of it. So how did God show us His love? 1 John 4, you know, He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. I mean, this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for us. So death doesn't have to be the end for us anymore. And when we choose to speak this truth in love, then we are choosing to live like Jesus lived. We're choosing to speak like Jesus spoke. We're choosing to love like Jesus loved. And we will grow. Paul says we will mature, become unified. And if you want to know what is true, then look first to the Word of God. I know some of us may look at the Bible as a rule book. Open your mind a little bit to that, because it's really a way of living that leads to life. Amen. Yeah. It's a way of living that always rings true. Always. And it is a way that is rooted in love. Simply put, are your words filled with love? I'm going to conclude by sharing this with you. What true love looks like, and it comes from one of my favorite passages, 1 Corinthians 13. It's going to be verses 4 through 7. And this is what it says. It says, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So looking at this in regards to how we speak truth, how we tell others what is right, are our words filled with this type of love? When we speak truth, is it spoken with patience? Yes, even on social media. Are our words spoken with kindness? When we speak the truth, are we doing it without envy? Without pride? When we speak the truth to others, are we demeaning them or insulting them? Purposefully. When we speak the truth, are we doing it to make us look better? As if we know more? Or are maybe just a little bit above morally, spiritually? I mean, yes, sometimes the truth is hard. It's difficult. But the truth is always encouraging when spoken in love. The truth is always helpful and empowering and hopeful and unifying when spoken in love. Truth and love should always go hand in hand. Always. So Pilate, he has enough information to think he's right. He was certain of this truth, and he knew that the truth really doesn't matter. He knew life was really more about survival. It was about keeping his job. But had he lingered just a little bit longer? Because remember, he just says, "What is truth?" And he was out. Had he lingered just a little longer, not only would he realize how wrong he was, but he might have just seen how loved he was as well. I always wondered, what would Jesus have said to him had that been a genuine question? This is why it's important what we say to brothers and sisters, to believers. This is why it's important what we say to non-believers. We need to speak the truth in such a way that people know just how much they matter, how much they are loved. Because this is the way of Jesus. The truth is rooted in his words, which were rooted in his Father's words. This is the way of truth and love. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Help us to be people who are not afraid to say what is true. Help us to be people who are not afraid of even the difficult truths. But Lord, whenever we are speaking with one another and speaking with those people who so desperately need to hear in this world full of lies a solid truth, Lord, help us to say those things to them with a love that is sincere and genuine and overwhelmingly evident. This is the way we will show people what it means to be a follower of Jesus, is through the love that we have. And through our love, Lord, I pray that truth shines brightly. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, and we're going to have people around the room, elders, wives. I'll be in the front. If you need prayer, encouragement, if you need to confess something that you don't want to confess to just anyone, come and find one of us. Don't leave with the same baggage you came in here with. Take a moment and let's pray and sing. Amen.